Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. Shout out to Lori and Christina, two of the women who purposefully posed some questions to me. So, of course, I took it to God in prayer. And out of that has come the purposing of offering a midweek encouragement. And so I'm going to start by encouraging you with the message that I led over the women on our last on-site Wednesday night. The first thing I want you to stop and think about is hope versus hopelessness. If you will, just think of it as a blank sheet of paper. And I want you to imagine on the front side of that piece of paper, the word hope. And I want you to think about a time, a place, a person, an experience where you had hope. I want you to stop and think about, why did you have hope? What about that situation was hopeful for you? What support or encouragement did you have that kept you focused on hope? Now I want you to imagine flipping that piece of paper over, so now it is blank again. And I want you to visualize the word hopelessness. Think about a time, a place, a person, an experience where you had no hope, where you felt hopeless. Think about what about that experience took your hope away. What was keeping you from the ability to have hope? Now let's think about the actual definition of hope and hopelessness so that we can isolate and really concentrate on what the difference in those two words are. Hope, to cherish a desire with anticipation. Hope, to want something to happen or to be true. Hope, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or trust of someone or something. Hope, one on which confidence is placed. Hope, trust. Hopelessness, hopelessness, having no expectation of good or success. Hopelessness, devoid of hope. Hopelessness, despair. Let's isolate hopelessness. Hope, the root word, if we agree it means trust, then if you look at less, it means a limited amount. And if you look at ness, it means a condition, quality, or state of. So if you look at hopelessness, it is a state of limited trust. So the question we need to pose for ourselves is, what is the reason for us to have a struggle between believing and unbelieving? Because when we are in a state of unbelief, that means our trust is limited. So first, I pose to you the question, what is the present quality of your hope and trust in your God? You first have to always know where you are. Make a goal of where you want to be to know where you are going. So first, just stop and ask yourself right now, right here, what is my quality of hope in my God? Then ask yourself, why does it waver between hopelessness and hope? Hopelessness and hope. And then lastly, I hope we address today how we can increase our reliance on our God. When I was prayerfully considering multiple passages and verses about hope, I came across many. I'm actually going to read you the references to many biblical verses on hope. Write them down, look them up, but we are going to isolate this episode in the book of Lamentations. But first, let me just give you some of the references that the Holy Spirit can use to awaken you to the study of hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13, 1 Corinthians 14:1, Romans 8:24, Romans 8:23. Go ahead and finish and read Romans 8:25, 8:26, Romans 8:27 and 8:28. Jump down and look at Romans 8:31. Just read Romans chapter 8. Look at 1 John 3:3. Check out 1 John 3:6. Those are just a few of the wonderful verses that lead you into what hope is. But what the Holy Spirit led me to is Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Written by an unknown anonymous author, there are some debatable scholarly answers to who could have authored the book of Lamentations, but we are going to just accept that that is not the most important thing to know about this book. And if you look at the Hebrew Bible, Lamentations is called the How Book, because the first word of chapter 1, verse 1 is how. The first word of chapter 2, verse 1 is how. And the first word of chapter 4, verse 1 is how. And it's emphasizing how much Jerusalem has suffered. And it's a lament because the individual is basically crying out to God for help in their hopelessness and in that how. And if you are a previous podcast listener, you will know from earlier episodes about often we hold out our hands in a cry to God and we are worried about the who, what, where, why, when, how, when all God wants us to focus on is Him, the who, that is going to be our faithful presence that we are going to abide in, and He alone is going to get us through any and all situations that we are presently facing or will face. So back to Lamentations. Let's look at chapter 3. If we think about this anonymous author, we know by reading he has endured great suffering. But what is an amazing example to us is that through this suffering, he allows us to see that he has experienced God's faithfulness before. So he is clinging still to hope, praying that he can experience God's faithfulness again. But let's literally just read through chapter 3, hitting various verses for you to go back and read it in its entirety. I pray you read the whole book of Lamentations, but let's just sit in chapter 3 for our time's sake today, and let's receive what God has purposed this for us to hear about hope versus hopelessness. Let me begin by opening us up in prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this example for us to read that was written for us, that is truth. It is your word. It is living, breathing, active. It is sharp enough to cut into us, to open our mind, our emotions, our heart, and our actions for change, for renewal, to cause us to understand what we need to surrender to you and what we need to reach out and grasp only from you, the attributes and character of you, our God, your peace, your faithfulness, your love, your covering, your acceptance, and clarity of what we need to just lay down before you, what our posture needs to bend for you to come embrace us and lift us up so that we can walk again, anew, renewed, abiding only in you. Great is your faithfulness, my God. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. It starts with Lamentations 3, verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. So again, he starts off immediately with, I'm in a bad place. If you read down verses 4 all the way through 16, he just continues to lament. When we get to verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. Verse 18, so I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. So he is vulnerably, honestly, openly telling us he has lost all peace, all happiness, and all hope. He is on the blank side of the paper that says hopelessness. It abounds for him. It could be his focus. Let's look at verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. If you look at that reference to the word wormwood and the gall, it is referring back to verse 15, where it says, he has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. So he is not in a good headspace, not at all. And we know why. He is in the agony of hopelessness. Let's look at verse 20. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. So again, he has almost crumbled and bowed under the weight or the pressure of his hopelessness, of his situation, of his present state of mind. But look at verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He is on the side of hopelessness. His sheet is filled with all the reasons he is devoid of hope, why he is in a present limited state or condition of trusting. And then the Holy Spirit allows him to be awakened by what he has previously experienced from his faithful God. And it's like the piece of paper from hopelessness is beginning to be lifted up and turned. Because look at verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Let's look at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The only source of a believer's hope is from the Lord Himself. Each day is a new opportunity to experience God at work in us and around us. This anonymous writer is preaching a word of encouragement to and over himself. He refuses to look at the side of the paper that is filled with hopelessness. He is allowing the Holy Spirit to remind and bring back to him that abiding hope of his faithful God. So he is able to flip the script, to reroute his mindset, to rewrite his perspective again back to, I refuse to be bound by you, Satan. Hopelessness is not going to keep me captive. I was there for a bit, but I refuse to stay there. So he flips that piece of paper over, and here he goes. He's just preaching. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. This is a new day. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So number one, if you are looking at the side of the page that has hopelessness everywhere, maps and maps and maps full of hopelessness and emotions that are not worthy of a daughter of the king. The first thing this author is telling us is to encourage yourself. Encourage yourself with the hope and the truth of the Word of God and the hope and the truth of the times that God was there and rescued you. And ask him to renew you again. Let's look at verse 25. He continues, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So after he encourages himself with hope, he enters into an even deeper relationship with his God. He says, I'm going to abide. I am going to wait. I am going to be still and know that he is my God, which takes us cross-referencing to Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes I have been in the place where I was working so hard within my turmoil to be still that I never reminded myself and got to the place where I could just abide in my good God. So what the Holy Spirit had to remind me of is that trying to be still is still trying to do something. It was still Paulette trying to be in action. And Psalm 46:10 says, know that I am God. That's where he wants us to get. He wants us to get to the end result of the promise of know that I am God. But sometimes Satan captivates us with the doing. He distracts us with the doing. So trying to be still was still keeping me bound. So I gave myself permission through the Holy Spirit's revelation to me to flip the script on that verse. I think now of Psalm 46:10 as, Paulette, know that I am God. Be still. Because where he wants me to place my posture and where he wants me to place my busyness is in knowing him more, not trying to still myself. So what I have purposed is for me to keep in the middle of my bullseye, whether I'm in hope or hopelessness, is the pursuit of knowing my God more. That's where I should be at work, is in the study and the pursuit of my relationship with my God. So let's go back and look at, after he encouraged himself with hope, he entered into a deeper relationship with his God, and he agreed to wait. He wasn't giving God a timeline. He wasn't going to allow anxiety to come in and say, well, God hasn't done anything yet. He must have forgotten about you. He must be worrying about someone else's problems. He must need you to give him a plan A, B, or C, or D. No, wait. Just wait. Be renewed by him. Abide in him. And then verse 28, let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. So after you encourage yourself and you enter into a deeper relationship with your God, your ultimate reliance, examine your posture. Look at Psalm 33, 20 through 22. Psalm 33, 20 through 22. We have to examine our posture and make sure that we are in a full state of surrender. So I'm just going to read Psalm 33, 20 through 22 over you. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. He is our refuge, but it requires us to wait, to rely totally on Him as our shield, and to still have overwhelming joy. Verse 21, for our heart is glad because in Him is our hope. So we need the encouragement. We need to enter into a deeper relationship. We need to really examine our posture. Have you really given Him everything? Have you really quit trying to come up with the solution? Are you really willing to just wait? Put your mouth in the dust. Let's look down at verse 40, Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. So after we encourage ourselves and we enter into a deeper relationship and we examine our posture, this anonymous author, in a state of hopelessness turning into hope, offers us one more thing to do. Exalt our God in praise. As we are allowing Him to examine us, and whether we feel the devil has thrown everything at us as a test or not, we still have to remain in the hands of the Lord our God. We have to return our hearts and our minds and our emotions and our actions back to Him. And within that state of hopelessness, we still have to lift up our hearts and our hands to our good God in heaven and say, I praise you in this. I praise you out of this because you're going to rescue me out of this. But it is not mine to say how. It is not mine to say when. It is not mine to say where. It is not mine to say what. It is mine to say who you are. You are a good and faithful God. And I have not given up hope on myself because I will never give up hope in you. So I want you to just stop and pause and pray and ask yourself again, have I lost hope? Have I lost joy? Have I lost my center? Have I lost my focus? Have I lost my trust in my good God? And if so, what can I do to increase my reliance on Him so that my hope and trust in Him becomes front and center for me? Hope requires from us a tenacity based on God's truth. Hope, hold on to God's promises every day. Think of that acronym, HOPE. Hold on to God's promises every day. Hope is actively resisting unbelief. That's the action we can take, to actively resist any unbelief within us, to surrender that, ask forgiveness for it, to cling to God with utter reliance so that He can enable us to be resilient. It is having the capacity to withstand and recover quickly from our difficulties. That's what hope is. We will always, on this human earth, vacillate with being pulled toward hopelessness, and we pull ourselves back to hope with God because we are human and life is real and the world's pull is the world's pull, and the devil wants to tempt us and trigger us and bind us. But we have power. We have power to remain hopeful despite our circumstances and situations. I'm going to read from Chuck Swindoll. Not only is it true that God will not change in his faithfulness, he cannot change. He never cools off in his commitment to us. He never breaks a promise. He never loses enthusiasm. He stays near us when we reject his counsel. Often we deliberately disobey him. Just as much as when we are zealous for the truth, God is there. He remains intimately involved in our lives, whether we are giving him praise, prayer, or whether we are grieving him with our actions. Whether we are running to him or from him, he remains faithful. His faithfulness is unconditional, unending, and unswerving. Nothing we have done, are doing, or will do can diminish it, and nothing we stop doing can increase it. It remains great. Even when we blow it, even when we make a stupid decision, even when our world is shaken by betrayal, God's faithfulness never diminishes. So again, I ask you, what is your present quality, condition, or state of hope? If you feel you have a limited trust in your good God, I pray right now that you stop and surrender that, ask forgiveness for it, and tell your great and faithful God that you are relying on him and him alone, that you are seeking and pursuing how you can increase your hope in him more. And the first thing I offer you is to go and read Lamentations. Read Lamentations chapter 3. Encourage yourself in hope. Call out to someone. Text someone. Go to church. Find a group. Find something that has a community of like-minded believers that is going to grab you by the hand and say, come on, we're going towards hope. We're doing this. We are not allowing you to backtrack. We are all going forward. We are doing this together. That is what Christian community is all about. To be renewed and pull you into a deeper relationship with him. Teach you how to hear and read and study the Word of God. Help you commit it to memory. Help you to meditate on it. Help you surrender. Help you actually allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit so that you can surrender. You can lay down the things that are burdensome for you and you can see more of God's blessings over you. And people that you can praise God together in a room with. Sing at the top of your lungs. Lift those hands together with. Cry, stream tears down your face, and be prayed over with. That is what we are being offered to experience this side of heaven. No one has to do life alone. No one has to be hopeless. Our God is offering us more than one way that we have to lead us to centered hope on him and him alone. Let me close us in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our only hope. You are our only hope. We are nothing without you. We have no capabilities without you. But in you, we have the ability to have the characteristics and the like-mindedness of you. You can be our thoughts. You can guide them. You can fill our heart with the loves that you love. You can fill us with the things that we should rid ourselves of. You can encourage us to walk the walk that you have for us purposefully to walk. You bring others into our path. You pull people from our paths. You offer us the ability to sit with others who are going to draw us closer to you. Then you give us the ability to draw and encourage others into that fold so that together as one common community of like-minded believers, We are encouraging each other in the walk so that one person is up, and if one person is down, our hands are all out. They're either out in an upward cry, or they're out with praise, or they're out reaching so that we grab on to each other. And wherever we are in the pole of hope to hopelessness, if we grab onto each other, we're going to encourage each other toward you closer, God. That's all we need, is a more deeper, vivid, real relationship with you, our Lord and Savior, our Christ, our King, our Redeemer, our Mighty Counselor, our everlasting peace. Then and only then will we feel and experience your overwhelming joy that comes despite our circumstances and situations. And we can lift our hands in praise and prayer and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for where I am right now, for what I am experiencing right now, because through it, you are making me more like Christ. And I am able to testify that you got me through it. I give all glory, honor, and praise to you. And it is the only example we have to be a witness if we are real and vulnerable and authentic with where we are, where we want to be, and where we're going. Lord, I love you so. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. Father God, Creator, thank you for sending your Son, your precious, blameless, perfect Son, to die on the cross for the sins I've committed and that I will commit, to make a way for me and any other believer to spend eternity with you. And in his name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. I pray that you are encouraged, that you look at which side of the paper you are on, and that you realize you have the power to flip the script and not allow the devil's hold to keep you captive. Look up one of these verses or passages and prayerfully consider how you can increase your hope in your great and faithful God. I love you each. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.